Jacob Blickenstaff helps us find the elements of a film most useful to science educators. In his latest review, he uncovers those moments in the remake of Fame.
Sometimes I wonder where I've been, who I am, do I fit in? I may not win.
One of my goals as a science educator is to show students that science is not just a classroom subject. There is science to be found in most, if not all, human activities. If physics teachers can make connections to the fine arts, they might surprise some students and generate interest in those not excited by car, rocket, and bullet problems. The recent release of Fame provides an excellent opportunity to discuss the physics of dance and music. This remake maintains most of the same characters in the basic plot structure of the 1980 film. We follow a group of teens from their auditions through graduation at New York City's High School of Performing Arts. Students in the movie specialize in acting, vocal performance, instrumental performance, or dance. The core group of students in the film enter as freshmen, unsure of themselves, but excited to be with artistically minded peers. The movie is then divided into four sections, corresponding to each year of school. By the end of their senior year, a few students have left school to pursue paid acting or dance positions, while others are looking for alternative ways to support themselves. Along the way, we see a lot of rehearsals and performances of songs and dance pieces. These performance interludes are the most useful segments for a physics teacher hoping to connect with art students. Much of the physics of dance is the physics of rotation, or turning on an axis. To be able to make sense of rotation, your students will need to be comfortable with terms like force, velocity, mass, and momentum as they apply to linear motion, so adding the complication of rotation will not be a significant leap. Physicists describe a rotating object as having angular velocity and angular momentum. Just as linear momentum is a combination of velocity and mass and gives you an idea of how hard it is to stop the moving object, angular momentum is the combination of angular velocity and mass and gives you an idea of how hard it is to stop a rotating object. There is one more wrinkle, though. Where the mass is placed in a rotating object is a key factor in angular momentum. The farther the mass is from the axis of rotation, the larger the angular momentum will be, given the same angular velocity. Think of the small merry-go-rounds found on some playgrounds. If two people are in the center of the merry-go-round, it's easier to set it spinning than if they are on the edge, even though the mass of the system is the same. Now, the similarity between the merry-go-round and dancing may not be obvious to some students. When a dancer wants to turn quickly, that is, with a high angular velocity, he needs to bring his arms and legs in close to his axis of rotation to minimize the effect of that mass. He might cross his arms over his chest, for example. When he wants to stop turning, he extends his arms and legs because moving that mass farther away from the center increases its contribution to his angular momentum and slows his rotation. Gymnasts and divers take advantage of this as well, tucking into a nearly spherical shape when turning, then straightening their body to slow the rotation for landing or entering the water. For students more interested in music than dance, Fame gives teachers the opportunity to point out all sound production starts with a vibration or oscillation of some material. In a drum, the material is clearly the drum surface, but it might be less obvious for other instruments. Brass instruments amplify the vibration of the player's lips, while the clarinet, bassoon, and saxophone have thin reeds that vibrate to produce a sound. String players draw a bow across a string to produce a vibration which the wooden box amplifies so it can be heard. All musicians need a way to play a variety of notes or pitches to make up a melody, and that means they need to change the frequency of the oscillation. In string instruments, like violins, violas, and cellos, the length and mass and tension of the string determine the frequency of oscillation, and players tune their instruments by adjusting the tension. When playing, string musicians change the effective length of the string by placement of their fingers on the fingerboard. A shorter string vibrates at a higher frequency, so the pitch is higher. Brass and wind players use valves to change the length of the air column in the instrument, again with a shorter air column resulting in a higher note. This relationship is probably most obvious in a pipe organ, which can include pipes ranging from 10 centimeters to nearly 10 meters in length. I hope many physics and physical science teachers will turn Fame into an opportunity to show the connections between science and the fine arts, and perhaps spark the interest of students who might otherwise avoid physics.
For more of Dr. Blickenstaff's reviews, go to the NSTA website and search for Blick on Flicks.